Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our worship here at Faith here on this day of Pentecost. And I look out into the crowd a little bit here because at all three of our services, we had some people that were dressed in nice bright red, kind of because this is a day where one of the few times we actually have red up in front here. The day of Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, just a wonderful, wonderful service that we have in front of you this morning. We want to share with you a couple things. First of all, I think we told you last week that at least for now, the food bank remains closed. It will be for another week or so with some people that are some temporarily, some probably more than temporarily, that are not going to be helping us with the food bank anymore. We need some new volunteers. If you'd like to help, please come and see me this week, because we're going to be doing our training Monday and Tuesday of next week. Most likely, the food bank will open next Wednesday, but it looks like we're going to be setting a whole new schedule. Maybe one schedule for the summer and then a new one once we get to fall, but we really can't be sure about that yet. We need to sit down with God's people. And so there will probably be a mass sit-down for the food bank next Monday. Be prepared for that. In fact, we'll probably do meeting one day, training the other. We'll just see what happens. We're gonna get everybody scheduled here this coming week so that we can do whatever it is that we need to do next week. Besides our Bible study that is between the services, and boy, this death then what it's a powerful study. A lot of good things in it. We've also got a ladies' Bible study that will be beginning after the 4th of July, Saturday, July 8th at the Oasis Coffee Spot. It's called Soul Spa, Women's Bible Study, again, at the Oasis Coffee Spot. So we hope that would be able to join us over at the Oasis Coffee Spot there. A couple of date changes and updates. We are going to be having a new member Sunday. That new member Sunday is going to be the last Sunday in July. And we're looking forward to that. That's going to be July 30th, and we're just getting the word out now because we know that there's been a number of people, some folks that you know, and some folks that have been visiting us here that we would like to be able to add as God's people on that Sunday. So the last Sunday in July. And then in the first weekend in August, we have had to postpone our vacation Bible school because of some conflicts and some construction going on over at Sims Park. They're going to be done with all that the first weekend in August. So that first weekend, on the Saturday, we're going to be having a one-day vacation Bible school. It will wrap up with worship from 12 to 6. Now, I won't be there that day, but some of you might remember the pastor that filled in for me this past winter. His name is Pastor Roger Keller. He and his wife, Nina's been going through some health concerns. The doctors have informed them that it probably would be best that they come down here almost full time. So Pastor and Mrs. Keller are going to be joining. They're going to be some of the people joining our church on July the 30th, and we certainly look forward to that. But then he is going to be covering our worship services that weekend in August. And regarding worship, I don't know if any of you in this group ever come to Saturday night worship. But just remember, by the way, Saturday worship right now has, with Faith Factor off for the summer, has become a little bit more traditional than what it has been. You know, last year we just transported the whole 8 o'clock service onto Saturday night. So you're always welcome to join us. But on Saturday night, we are going to change the communion schedule. Now, that no changes for either 8 o'clock or 11 during the summer. But we are going to be moving communion to the second and fourth Sundays for the summer at our 5 o'clock worship. It just with the way the schedule's lining up for the summer, it's just best that we do it that way. So in the racks in front of you are those Faith Fellowship cards for both our members and our guests. Let us know that you were here this morning. It is important that we have those. Those will be collected right at the conclusion of our offering for this morning. As you are able, please stand. Our order of worship this morning is from Divine Service Setting 4 in our Lutheran Service Book. You may follow along up on the screen. We begin by calling to mind our baptisms. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word and to call upon him in prayer and praise, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray this prayer together. O God, on this day you once taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us in our day, by the same Spirit, to have a right understanding in all things, and evermore to rejoice in his holy consolation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Today's readings from Holy Scripture are appointed for the third Sunday, the day of Pentecost, the Old Testament lesson from the book of Numbers. Moses desires the Lord to put his Spirit on his people. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took some of the Spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied. But they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the Spirit rested on them. They were among those who registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, from his youth said, My lord Moses, stop them. But Moses said to him, Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his Spirit on them? And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is from the book of Acts, the day of Pentecost. Saint Luke writes, When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house that they were sitting. And divided tongues as fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now they were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together and they were bewildered, because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians? We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, What does this mean? But the others mocking said, They filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even on my male servants and female servants. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in the heavens above, and in signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand as a sign of resurrection.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 7th chapter. Out of believers in Christ will flow rivers of living water. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Friends, we bow our heads in prayer. Almighty God, by the working of your Holy Spirit, grant that we may now gladly hear your word, that word proclaimed among us, that we may follow wherever it leads us through your Son, Jesus. Friends, God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you. As we're going to take a look this morning at a special kind of a river, a spiritual river, and from the source to the mouth, which is exactly what a river has. And we're going to go back to the words of Jesus where in the gospel lesson, a really short one for this morning, he stood up and he cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now, of course, today is the beginning of the New Testament church through the day of Pentecost. And since Jesus compares the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to a river that literally is coming out of our hearts, let's take a look at a river. Let's review what a river is and what it does, good, not so good. And what we're going to do some fast facts out of one of the most important rivers that we have in the United States, the Mississippi River. It's the third largest river system in the world when you include the fact that it includes the basin of the Missouri rivers going up from the northwest, the Ohio River coming from the east, the Red River coming through Texas, and many more. This is a very important river. It receives water from 31 of the 48 U.S. states and two Canadian provinces, as the Missouri River, the source of the Missouri that feeds the Mississippi, is actually three different rivers, two of which go up into Canada. So, a magnificent river system. And even though there's far more people than this, when you figure that a lot of times water is procured from lakes and so forth, or you live on the ocean or wherever it is that you live, 20 million people rely on the Mississippi. Now, this does not include the Ohio and all those others. 20 million people rely on the Mississippi for its fresh water supply. That's where they get the water that most people are going to drink. And two-thirds of all of the grain that's exported by the U.S. for food worldwide, I mean, you know, we are feeding the world. Two-thirds of all the grain is going to be somehow shipped down the Mississippi, coming through a port in New Orleans, Louisiana. And yes, now, the Mississippi River has nearly 200 bridges that carry traffic across the Mississippi, and yet, when the Mississippi floods, there, you know, some of the bridges that were never built very high will actually go underwater, and there can be a 200-mile gap between open bridges. And I've seen it happen. Because we're talking about floods just in the last 25 years, including a devastating flood on both the Mississippi and the Missouri River in 1993. Over 40 communities were removed from the map permanently. Many others were just moved up on the bluff or wherever it was because the floods just got themselves to the point where you are reminded why you're not supposed to build on the river. Now, despite the fact that you've got an amazing amount of water that's carried, like every other river, the beginnings of this river are modest. They begin in a place up in northwest Minnesota called Lake Itasca. And here, my friends, is for Lake Itasca, where it says here, 1,475 feet above the ocean, the mighty Mississippi begins to flow on its winding way, 2,552 miles to the Gulf of Mexico. And as you can see, at that spot there, at Lake Itasca, you can walk across the narrow portion of that where it begins. So it would seem to be some very, very humble beginnings that turn into something magnificent. And in terms of appearances, what we can see, so it is with our faith. You know, here on this day of Pentecost, we are kind of celebrating that there was this time where the work of the Holy Spirit wasn't silent at all. But with most of us, it doesn't make as much noise as what it does. But make no mistake, it was important. Lake Itasca, if you'd had a look a little bit further, you would have noticed it behind where there was some grass. There was a much larger lake. Lake Itasca is not a small lake. It feeds an incredible amount of water that allows the Mississippi to be a pretty impressive river from the very beginning. And so it is with our faith, my friends. It starts with the work and death of Jesus, who flows rivers of living water out of the flow of blood that he died on the cross with from each and every one of us. And what Jesus did for us is where it begins. It has to begin. It is the only place it can begin. His work on earth. While we talked last week about how it was completed, his work on earth essentially finished three times. The first time was on the cross when he said, "It is finished." Then he showed himself alive for 40 days, and then came last Sunday when we celebrated the ascension and Jesus removed his visible presence from this world. But even then, Jesus went up so that the Holy Spirit could proceed down from the Father and the Son. And so it brings its final completion as now the Holy Spirit has been placed first into the lives of many people, many bewildered, confused people on the day of Pentecost. And then years and years later, somebody even more important than any of those 3,000, and that's you. And my friends, so with our faith then, we always remember that faith begins by a miracle. The amount of water that is produced by Lake Itasca, they have often done some research on how that happens because, yes, there's a ton of lakes up in Minnesota, but how it is that it's able to produce so much water as a source has always had them mystified. But, you know, with the underground springs and whatever else, it allows from the very beginning the Mississippi to be something that, I mean, even when you're not that far downstream, it takes a pretty impressive bridge to get across it. Well, faith begins in a miraculous way in your life, where what is being bridged is incredible, a miracle only being able to be done through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's done one of two ways. One of them is what we saw this morning, the Word of God. Now, last night, I don't know if any of you were here or you heard what happened. I arrived at church about 3:15, walked in, I'd turned off the alarm system, but I hadn't taken more than two steps. And the electricity flashed. Went off, it went back on again. But when it came back on again, something wasn't right. And it didn't take me long to go through the church to realize that our three-phase electrical system was missing at least one phase, if not two. We found out later that up here at the street, up at Nico's, somebody had decided to have a balloon launch, but nobody told them, don't release the balloons into the power lines, please.
It tends to short out things like transformers. And so we had partial power. These little white lights here on the side, they worked. None of the other lights here did, and none of the air conditioners did. So we had to, it was a service of Holy Communion, like our early service was, so we had to cut the service down. We still lost about four people because the heat was just going to be too much for them, and I sent them off with a blessing, but and then I knew we had to cut the service down to just the real basic things in the service. And we started with the confession of sins like we did today and so on. But one thing we made sure that we did was we took the time to read the Word of God. Because the Word of God is never something which is like picking up and reading the newspaper or picking up and reading a magazine or a novel or whatever it is that you pick up. Whenever we hear the Word of God, it comes to us with great power. Not necessarily always as great as what we saw on the day of Pentecost, but look at what happened. The one thing that divided people, that kept them from hearing the Word of God, was for them to be able to hear it in their own language. And so the first great miracle of the Holy Spirit was to allow the disciples to have an utterance where they can speak in all these different languages. And you heard about all these different countries, and they all have different languages and dialects and so forth. The Word of God needs to be brought to every one of them, and that is what happened. So the Word of God, as it comes, is always a miracle. And then, of course, baptism, and we'll get to baptism a little bit later. But we look at how that happened at Pentecost, and yes, power was provided so that all of the children of creation could simply hear the Word. And you heard. There was a quotation from the book of Joel. And then there was that reminder that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that is the Word. That's what you need to keep hearing in your life, that we call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. That's the message that we need to take forth from here. And my friends, it is the perfect message because it is proclaimed in its truth and purity. There were no embellishments. There were no compromises to try to satisfy a subgroup of people or where we had to conform to a particular agenda of human-invented subgroups that tend to divide rather than unite people. One thing we understand, my friends, is that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all have that in common, but we have all been justified freely by His grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. We all have that in common. So we need simply to make sure that the Word of God is being taught, is being shared, is being proclaimed to us and from us. Because the disciples then, as they were reminded, as all of a sudden, these disciples that even just a week ago when we were going through the ascension were asking some really odd, out-of-place questions. Now all of a sudden, with the power of the Holy Spirit, the light is on. And guess what? The light is on for you too. That as you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. And that is everyone. Everyone in your life, that as you proclaim the Word of God to them, and the Holy Spirit responds with great power, they too will be saved. Look at what the Holy Spirit is capable of doing. It talks about how 3,000 souls were added that day. Sometimes I think churches learn the wrong lessons about this. We see this, wow, 3,000 in one day. What can we do? What program can we kind of work our way through that'll get us those 3,000 people? I mean, that's the whole point. The Holy Spirit always has a result. And my friends, we are never cease to be shocked by the results that the Holy Spirit can bring to us. But that's as we proclaim the Word, not as we go looking for the types of results. The Holy Spirit, as He takes care of the faith in us, will take care of the results out here around us. Our job is simply to proclaim that Word and to make sure that it is a Word that reaches us first.
So as I was talking about faith, yes, it does begin in one of two ways, and one of them that was celebrated on the day of Pentecost was the Word of God, but don't forget what the other one is. The other one is baptism. And even in the midst of the messages of Pentecost, they were reminded, the promises for you and for your children, the message of making sure that people are being baptized never ceases. And look, I got to admit, that little thing over there, our baptismal font, has been quiet. Too quiet. Now, it's not like in some of our churches, it's almost like Zacharias and Elizabeth know, are we going to start this business of having children at extremely old age? Maybe not. But the Lord always has a plan. And indeed, next weekend, after our Saturday worship and after our late service, we are going to have two baptisms next weekend where the Lord is going to be doing the things through the Holy Spirit that he does best. Because baptism is also what we call a means by which God brings his grace to people. It's almost like taking a power tool that where all of a sudden you plug it into the wall. All you see are two prongs that disappear into the wall. But you've got a tool now that can do incredibly amazing things that we could never do ourselves. So it is with baptism, where this is not just plain water, but water that is with the Word of God makes up what is called a baptism, a washing, a life-giving water rich in grace, a washing of the new birth in the Holy Spirit, as St. Paul says. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So for good Lutherans, we're always going to ask the question, what does this mean? And one of the first things that you need to know is that you can go forth with boldness, not just because the message is secure and it's a good message for others, but it's a good message starting with you. I know that we have people that are struggling with life's circumstance. I know that there are people that have things that they haven't told anybody else. Or the few people that they have told, it's like, I don't want anyone else to know. And in some cases, not even you know. But we need to understand that the message, before it can go out to others, needs to be effective on you first. But it is. Your salvation is secure. And because of that, and the repentance and the forgiveness that's become a part of our lives, we can take that message to others. Because, my friends, we really do have more in common with people out there than we realize. You know, they may be looking for solutions in all the wrong places, but they're searching. And you see just the herd of people that know that they're looking for something and they really can't even be sure what it is that they're looking for. And what they are filling their lives with is so destructive, it may keep them from ever really understanding the joy of having the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. But that is our hope. Because what we are looking for is a faith that's going to continue to grow. And a faith that eventually is going to reach something else. Do you have any idea what this is? Friends, we talked about the source of the Mississippi. Here's the mouth. Down at the Mississippi River Delta. And you take a look at that. And there are some places here. I'm going to move just ahead a little bit. Here at the mouth of the Mississippi, while the port of New Orleans is indeed the largest in the world, where all the stuff is gathered and then the ships are sent out, but even when they're sent out, you know, you think New Orleans is like right there in the Gulf, isn't it? Well, no. Ships have 118 miles that they have to traverse before they are out in the Gulf from New Orleans. That, by the way, is just how big the Mississippi is. And the channel there in New Orleans, even from Baton Rouge on, is way over a mile wide before it starts splitting up. And you saw how little sub-pieces were breaking off there in the Mississippi River Delta. But one of the things you may also have noticed, I'm going to go back here for just a second and let you see that. Take a look at what seems to be, even as there's little outcroppings, look at what seems to be around it. It almost looks like a cover of some kind. And what you are looking at there is the fresh water. The fresh water that goes out from the different spots by which the Mississippi drains into the Gulf of Mexico. Now, that light blue that you see there, that is indeed fresh water. In fact, it is a fresh water zone. And it keeps life going in the Delta. So I mean, it's not besieged by salt water, unless, of course, you have like a Hurricane Katrina. Fresh water enters into the Gulf, but does not become totally and immediately a part of the Gulf. In it, not of it. Sound familiar? Because that's what we're supposed to be. We are the fresh water that has to go out into a gigantic vastness where it's an entirely different world. But we place ourselves into it. We do not subject ourselves from it. And the reason we can do that is what Jesus did for us. Because when he stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Because whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And it's flowing out of you right now. My friends, on this day of Pentecost, may we believe those words. May we take those words to heart and grow in them. And may we be willing to share it with as many as we can. Because everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. So now at this time, we confess our Christian faith to the words of the Nicene Creed. It is always on the inside back cover of the hymnal back here, or as I said, you can always look up on the screen. Please stand as we confess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty eternal God, we praise you this day that you have given the Holy Spirit to your church to bear witness to your saving truth in Jesus Christ. Fill your church this day and always with your heavenly power. Sanctify your people in that holy and precious word that is proclaimed with great power as they come before you now in both praise and prayer. We thank you for the precious gifts of light and life that we have received, all as a part of the life of faith through the Holy Spirit, who has brought our faith into existence, has made it grow, be useful, has allowed us to be faithful unto death. Grant that we may always have eager and open ears for the scriptures, and may we receive the words that we hear as your own precious words, so remaining in your truth and life, so that all hear the name of the Lord will be saved. Loving Father, direct and rule our lives, that we may grow each and every day in knowing and loving you and our Savior Jesus. By your Spirit, renew in us sincere repentance for our sins. Give us a living faith that we may have the continual peace and comfort of Christ's saving love. Arouse within us a genuine desire for all that is right and holy and pure and just, and then take that as the message that you have shared, even at the price of your own life, that may go also unto others. Allow us, dear Lord, that we may always be loyal to our Savior, obedient to His word, faithful to His church, untiring in deeds of love and mercy. Heavenly Father, the source of light and life, banish from this world all darkness. Fill it with the brightness of your saving truth. Lead all people by your Holy Spirit. May your truth and word take place everywhere in our land. Teach us to walk in your ways, to revere your holy will, to live in holiness, to be saved from all unrighteousness, and grant us a spirit that is full of mercy, kindness, peace, goodwill, generosity, and always a willingness to share the hope that is within our hearts. Give your Holy Spirit, the comforter and helper, to all who must pass through dark valleys and deep waters, that they may find in you their strength and comfort. Be the guardian of all in danger, the protector of all who travel, the friend of all who are lonely, the strength of all who are tempted, the comfort of all who sorrow, the hope of all who despair, the health of all who are sick, and the joy of all who struggle to find joy in this world that has so much darkness in it. Lord, we now lift up before you someone in our own lives that is in need of the special comfort that you give through your holy and precious word that we now name before you in a moment of silence. Be with Helen Fredericks, who's hospitalized at Bayonet Point, and with all of your people that are going through such struggles and in everything. Help us to be filled with the Holy Spirit for Jesus' sake, who has taught us to pray his prayer, which we now pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our service concludes on the middle of page 8, the closing collect. We pray together. O God, you poured out your Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost that your mighty works might be proclaimed. Pour out your Spirit today through word and sacrament that your name might be glorified in our lives. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Friends, thanks for joining us. Go in peace and serve the Lord.